Once again, you're listening to Niecy Carbone, and normally I'd be saying you were listening to Holistic Health. However, today, the name of my show changes, and it goes from Holistic Health to Healthwise. So from now on, you're going to be listening to Niecy Carbone's Healthwise. Healthwise is sponsored by the Professional Supplement Center. They're an independently owned business that has an on-staff consultative nurse, and they carry a full line of vitamins, supplements, and other natural products which can be shipped all over the country. The Professional Supplement Center is located at 5441 Palmer Crossing Circle in Sarasota. Or, for more information, their website is ProfessionalSupplementCenter.com. That's ProfessionalSupplementCenter.com. Today I'm interviewing Jenna Norwood regarding a raw food diet. Jenna is a native of Washington, D.C., where she founded a public relations firm. She has a B.S. in journalism from the University of Maryland. Jenna switched careers from public relations to health consultant and educator, as well as raw food chef several years ago, and is the founder and organizer of Raw Sarasota. She also teaches monthly classes at Whole Foods on raw food preparation. Jenna travels the world speaking about raw food and the impact that our food choices have on our bodies and our environment. She was recently a guest speaker at Harvard University and has been featured in Reuters International, Women's World Magazine, AOL Health, KBS TV, and Radio Paradiso in Tokyo. Inspired by the documentary Supersize Me, Jenna produced an alternative documentary entitled Supercharge Me, 30 Days Raw, which won Best Documentary at the Tofino Film Festival in Hollywood and was a finalist for Best Florida Film at the Central Florida Film Festival. Welcome, Jenna.
Hi there, Niecy. Thank you.
I'm delighted to have you as a guest, and I guess it probably should be apparent, but let's start off with what the definition of raw food is.
That's a good question. When I started on this journey in 2005, it was much more mysterious then to the general public than it is now. People are becoming much more educated about it. Traditional raw diet usually suggests also vegan and organic, although there are those who will do a raw diet that includes raw fish and raw meat. The diet that I am advocating for its health benefits is a raw vegan and organic diet, which also happens to be gluten-free. And so it's essentially a plant-based diet of uncooked, fresh fruits, vegetables, nuts, seeds, sprouted grains, juices, and smoothies, and has an incredible variety within it, believe it or not. A lot of times people hear about a raw diet and they assume that that means they're just going to be munching on carrot sticks and celery.
And also, when we talk about raw, isn't it true that you can indeed heat the food to a certain extent, but not beyond a certain temperature? And what is that temperature?
So the temperature range within which people believe, or it's commonly believed, that we start to lose the nutritional value of the food, including the enzymes, is between 105 and 118 degrees. So when I had my raw restaurant here in Sarasota, we would just be conservative and wouldn't heat food above 105 degrees, which is plenty warm. A jacuzzi temperature is usually not more than 105 degrees. So there's no necessity to be boiling things just to wait for them to cool down to the point where you can eat the food.
Right. And in other words, what you're saying is above and beyond that 105 to 18 degree temperature, you're starting to lose the actual nutrients that the vegetables were, shall we say, grown with.
Right. And at that point, the food doesn't have its life force anymore. It would no longer, if you were to cook a seed beyond that temperature, it would no longer sprout. So the life force is gone. Okay. I believe life begets life. And you also, and it's been measured in scientific studies, you're also losing the nutritional value and you're losing the enzymes in the food. So it starts to degrade in terms of the benefit it can have for you.
So is that why you say it's healthier for people? Because it has a higher nutritional value and it also has a very high level of enzymes and amino acids?
I believe that food in its raw state is the way it's intended to be consumed. Every other creature on the planet eats its food raw. And other creatures on the planet don't have the disease that we have as humans. And I believe part of that has to do with the cooking of the food and also all the all the chemicals that are added to the food and preservatives and, you know, all the crazy things we've done to food. It's a strange time in history that a lot of what we eat isn't actually food.
Yeah, it's genetically modified and God knows what it is, but our bodies certainly don't recognize it.
Right.
I'm an advocate of saying that if you can't pronounce an ingredient on anything you're going to buy and consume, you shouldn't consume it.
Yeah, I trust nature more than I trust a laboratory for my food.
I think that's smart. Are doctors in favor of a raw diet?
When we had our raw restaurant, it was pretty interesting because we had so many of our customers who would reverse lifelong diseases and disorders and go back to their doctors. The doctors were mystified. They didn't. It was amazing to them that this was even possible because oftentimes these were situations that the patients had been led to believe and the doctors believed that they would be suffering with their entire lives. So
let's give an example of some of those because from your documentary as well as from conversations I had with you, you've interviewed people who have been diagnosed and been suffering from MS, multiple sclerosis, mm-hmm. and cancer, mm-hmm. as well as other things. So let's address that. I'd like you to tell a little story about the gentleman who had MS.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, John Chandonnet was a gentleman I interviewed in my movie, and he was in a pretty advanced stage of MS when I met him at the Optimum Health Institute, where I documented the first three weeks of my 30-day raw challenge. He was having a hard time walking and even talking. And he went through a detox process that went on for several months and completely regained his speech and mobility. And he's actually working on a book. He's almost finished with his book about how he reversed his MS. It's pretty miraculous. I mean, and generally speaking, I remember I had in high school, there was a fellow who had his locker near mine who had MS, and he was in an advanced stage. And ever since that experience, and I saw him deteriorate during high school, I always was under the impression that this is the kind of
irreversible
thing that just gets worse.
Sure.
And to watch John, and I just happened to run into him about a year ago. I was just absolutely amazed. You would have never guessed that there was anything ever wrong with this guy. He was walking absolutely normally. He just got in touch with me recently and told me he's finishing up his book. And so you can look that up. And for anyone who's dealing with that or knows someone dealing with it, I'm sure he has some really great wisdom about it. But I know his path started with eliminating all animal products and focusing on organic and doing a lot of juicing and staying hydrated. And he saw that it was a very strong link between dairy and MS for him.
Dairy and MS. Okay.
Yes.
Well, and that's different for everyone because different people have different food sensitivities. So that might have been something he noticed through his elimination process. I guess the point I want people to hear is that many diseases, though we don't think of it that way, are actually caused by our diet. And as a result, they can be, if not cured, certainly vastly helped by changing our diet for the better. And this example of MS is just one of many. There are stories of cancer and glaucoma, all sorts of things that are reversed. And again, there are many carcinogens in the foods we consume today, even if they're in raw fruits and vegetables, because those fruits and vegetables may have been grown with pesticides and chemicals and fertilizers, and they are being ingested into your system when you consume those foods. So that's a really big point I want to make, that when we talk raw, we're talking organic raw.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. That's right.
All right. By the way, I'm talking with Jenna Norwood, and Jenna is a raw food expert. She has a documentary, and she lectures and teaches classes and has had a restaurant, a raw food restaurant. So we're discussing all the elements of raw food, at least the initial ones. I know that many people, Jenna, want to know if they're on a raw food diet, they wonder where their protein comes from. So why don't you enlighten us?
That's always a question, not just for raw, but even for vegetarian and for vegan. And I've been vegetarian 31 years, and I have an O-negative blood type, which according to the blood type diet is supposed to require animal protein. Well, that's not part of my diet, and I feel very healthy without it, so I don't know how much stock I put in that. Protein comes in the form of amino acids, which can be found in every fruit, every vegetable, every nut, every seed, every leafy green. And consuming animal products is just a very inefficient way of getting protein, and it comes with a lot of side effects, including inflammation and difficulty in digestion and creating an acidic condition in the body, which is the perfect environment for disease to flourish. Mm-hmm. So people have to make their own choices and figure out what works for them. And I think most of us are on a path, on a journey to optimal health. I'm still on a journey. A lot of the things that I know are best for me, I don't always do for whatever reason. Maybe it's, you know, it's challenging not having enough support or feeling emotionally like I want to numb out a little bit. And I know the bowl of rice is going to be numbing. When you're raw, your emotions are also raw. There's nowhere to hide.
Oh, that's an interesting analogy.
It really is. And that's the big challenge I think people have with being raw. We're accustomed to numbing out. I mean, we are a nation of addicts. There's so much to be addicted to. I mean, it's even in your coffee, there's the caffeine is addictive. The dairy is addictive. The sugar is addictive. It's a triple threat. And this is the way a lot of people just start their day.
Yeah, they start their way with, we won't name that company, but they go to one of the many coffee houses triple lattes and God knows what. Espresso.
And no wonder these businesses are so successful. It's a triple addiction.
Yeah.
And it's tough to come to terms with that. But pasta is also addictive. Dairy is addictive. There's casomorphine in dairy. There's casomorphine in all breast milk, and it's concentrated in concentrated forms of dairy, like cheese, cottage cheese, ice cream, yogurt. Mm-hmm. And so I realized, having been a vegetarian all these years, cheese was my go-to thing. And I realized that when I would crave it when I was stressed. And I couldn't understand why I had such a hard time giving up cheese, even though I knew it wasn't good for me. And when I found out about the morphine, it all made sense. And I realized, no wonder, it's like it numbs my brain. And if you notice a baby after the baby nurses, the eyes roll into the back of its head and it just, you know, right. Gets into this lulled, you know, kind of dreamy, sleepy state. Well, that's nature's way of encouraging the baby to nurse and encouraging the mother to nurse the baby.
Okay, so we now know that you can get protein from sprouted grains, nuts, seeds. Mm-hmm. What about iron? Where does iron come from on a raw diet?
Iron comes from dark leafy greens, and it can take a while to absorb enough iron when you've had a standard American diet, or even if it's not so standard, but it can take a little while. There can be a lining on the colon that can prevent us from absorbing enough nutrition from our food. So in the early stages of going vegan or raw, sometimes it's beneficial to have a supplement. For instance, there's a supplement called Floridix. It's a plant-based supplement for iron.
What's it called again?
It's F as in Frank, L-O-R-A-D-I-X.
Thank you.
And so that's something that I used in the beginning, and what you may have seen in my film, at the end of the 30 days, my doctor found I was slightly low in iron, and so I learned about Floridix, and so that was something, a way that I supplemented until my body became more acclimated to the diet, and I was able to absorb more nutrition from the dark leafy greens.
And also, we should probably discuss the fact, because you were talking about the lining on your colon, mm-hmm. that you had that prevented absorption mm-hmm. of the iron, that it's beneficial if you're going to switch over to perhaps do some colonics. And I've had a hydrocolonic expert on the show, mm-hmm. so I think people won't be surprised about hearing that. There are things that are in your body that it could have been there for decades that need to be flushed away that can actually be blocking the absorption of many of the nutrients mm-hmm. and vitamins that we need.
It's pretty enlightening when you have your first colonic.
It certainly was. I have to admit it was.
How did you like that scene in my movie?
It's very interesting and very similar to what I saw and heard mm-hmm. from my therapist when I went in for the hydrotherapy.
Yeah.
Now, you mentioned the one floor a day supplement, but should you take other supplements if you're on a raw diet?
Well, the other supplement that is recommended is B12, but not just for people who are vegan, vegetarian, raw. There are two doctors who actually did a study and found that regardless of your diet, that most of us are deficient in B12, just because it's just a bacteria in the soil. And because even if you're eating meat, most animals are not grazing from the ground anymore. They're eating in troughs, so they're not getting that B12 bacteria, so you're not getting it secondhand from the animals either. So what these two doctors have recommended is a sublingual B12 supplement for everyone, and they're vegan B12 supplements, and you just sublingual just means under the tongue under they the dissolve. Tongue.
Why sublingual? Why not capsule that you swallow?
It's just absorbed more easily that way.
Doesn't stress out the liver as much.
I'm not sure about the liver stress. I just know that it absorbs into the system more easily, more readily under the tongue.
I think most things that we ingest have to be processed by our liver, and that's why I say that. So people who have a tendency to perhaps have liver problems or deficiencies might want to be aware of that. Sublingual anything or something that doesn't have to be processed, a liquid form.
Right.
Is much more easily processed by your liver. What are the benefits of eating raw? So now I'm going to go raw. I'm going to try this. I'm throwing out all of the sugar, the flour, the dairy, the wheat, the cheese, the pasta, the white rice, cookies. I'm throwing all that stuff away. I'm going to eat raw. Well, what am I going to get out of it other than I don't have MS? I feel, thank God, I feel pretty good. I don't have any diseases that I know of. What are some of the benefits that I'm going to find once I've gone raw?
Now, I've seen thousands of people now who have gone raw. And what's common among them is that, first of all, in the first few days, there tend to be detox symptoms, sometimes fatigue, sometimes headaches. Sometimes it's withdrawal. It's very difficult. If you're hooked on coffee, it's very difficult because then you're dealing with that.
And caffeine really is an addiction.
Yes.
So you're dealing with an addiction withdrawal.
And even if you were only giving up coffee, you probably have migraine headaches the first few days. So a lot of times it's better to kind of wean yourself off of that before getting into this type of diet. But then usually after about the third day, people tend to report that they feel more energetic, that their sleep is improving, that people tell them that they notice their skin is glowing, that their eyes are brighter, that there's a bounce in their step, that they just seem more alive. And then there's just this sense of well-being and a sense of connection and a mental clarity that tends to come from this. So even for people who have no dis-ease in particular, it just feels good.
Okay.
You just feel good. You just get high on life force food, and people wonder why you're so happy. There was
you have more energy, you're happy, you're looking healthier. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, and you just feel great. And you feel so far from the possibility of any kind of sickness. And that's an interesting thing, because a lot of times we're just kind of like teetering on the edge, and we feel like with our immune system being somewhat compromised, like we could pick something up. But when you're in this lifestyle for a while, your immune system tends to get so strong that you feel immune to it. And, I mean, I've known people who have worked with children, and they can even work in a preschool with kids sneezing on them all day long, and they still don't pick up anything.
Excellent. So you're really getting healthier.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what about social situations? What do you do if you're invited to someone's home or a dinner party?
No, that was one of my biggest fears, because I love to be social. I love to entertain. And I was wondering, am I going to be a social outcast if I take on this lifestyle? But what I learned was, say it's a dinner party. If I show up with a delicious raw dish, generally everybody loves it, and they're asking for the recipe, and they make sure to invite me back because they love the dish so much. There's something about this type of food that just resonates on another level that's beyond the traditional stuff. And people love it. And also when your friends and family start to see you getting happier and healthier, they want what you're having. They want some of that.
Sure.
So, and then generally when you go out to restaurants, you can somehow choose healthier food on that menu. You can pick and choose, and oftentimes they'll accommodate you. And if you see a salad that has some ingredients in it that you'd rather avoid, you can also, peruse the menu and see things that you might want to add to a salad, like maybe add walnuts or sun-dried tomatoes or olives or avocado. I love adding those things to a salad. It makes it more substantial.
Yeah, and tastier as well.
It's wonderful. And then, ask for a wedge of lemon and some olive oil. And, I bring my own sea salt because I don't generally like the processed salt that most restaurants carry. So I have my own little vial of sea salt that I bring, and it's like my magic dust.
There you go.
Yeah, and it makes everything yummy.
I bet people would like to know how they can prepare raw food aside from juicing. So just give us one or two quick tips in your experience. So I'm getting tired of just eating raw tomatoes and red peppers, etc. What can I do to prepare raw food differently?
I created about 50 short videos with recipe demonstrations and things that are on my website. So that's a good way to, that's a good place to start, because they're all quick and easy and delicious recipes. Aside from that, smoothies are great. Juices, you can just eat an apple, eat an orange, eat a mango. You know, just look in the produce section at what you love and start to incorporate more of that fresh food. Make yourself a beautiful big salad and add in the yummy things like I mentioned before. And then if you want to get gourmet, I mean, the desserts, raw desserts are out of this world. Everybody loves them regardless of their diet. Mm-hmm. They're so satisfying and delicious. And there are tons of recipes online. You can Google up raw food recipes, raw food desserts. There's something for everyone there. They're delicious. They're always a hit at parties.
Okay, so there are recipes. And do any of those include some heated recipes?
Well, you can use a dehydrator to warm food. And okay. if you have a high-speed blender, you can blend up to the point where, say, a soup, you can do a blended soup and blend it to the point where it's warm if you prefer a warm soup.
Just curious.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. By the way, just quickly before we go, one or two practical suggestions for people who want to try eating raw.
One or two practical suggestions would be to try to enroll the people around you.
So support. That would be number one. What would number two be?
And the film is one that helps get people on board. And mm-hmm. so that's why I made this film. And number two would be to just make it accessible, make it easy, eliminate the things in your house that you don't want to be eating, and just fill your cupboards and fill your refrigerator with the things that you do want to be consuming so that you don't have to be constantly battling yourself.
Excellent advice. Well, thank you, Jenna. That's about it for today. I'd like to remind everyone that my guest today was Jenna Norwood, and you can get more information from Jenna's website on raw food and raw diets by going to her website, www.jennanorwood.com. That's www.jennanorwood.com. I'm Niecy Carbone, encouraging you to tell your friends about HealthWise. If you missed any portion of my show today, you can hear them or any archived episodes on toyourhealth.podomatic.com. That's toyourhealth.podomatic.com. In the meantime, here's to your health.